Welcome to the Padres for Fitness Podcast. I'm your host, Marcus Pana. With me, as always, is Chad Hamner.
Hey, Marcus, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. Long time no talk.
I know. It's been quite a while between you being gone, me being gone, and us being uncoordinated. It's been a bit of time.
It's hard because I actually recorded a podcast with Travis last week. I think it was like during the All-Star game. But you were the one that's in charge of putting that all up on iTunes. And since you weren't here, we kind of just tossed that podcast aside. So no one else knows what was said there besides me and Travis. But like in my head, I might be like, oh, just like I talked about last week, even though no one actually heard it last week. So I'll try to differentiate that, and we'll get Travis back on the podcast at some point. But
I mean, you could have done it yourself.
No, I got you know, that's we pay you the big bucks for that.
So that's right. Sorry, yeah. My bad.
Yeah, you have the master's touch. We don't want to mess with that. So, so did you watch Padre game today?
I did watch. Well, I watched some of the Padre game today, and then I decided that there might be a slight better use of my time.
I know it gets said a lot, but because usually if you watch a whole Padre game, you deserve some kind of, you know, award. But man, if you watched all of that game where they lost, what was the final score? Was it
18-4? I think
18-4. You should get some kind of reward,
medical treatment,
something. Yeah, that was rough. Just
please
to
see
to
a
you.
Psychiatrist.
Yeah,
that was. Oof, man, even like reading through Twitter about the highlights of the game was I was just done. You know it's kind of interesting. For me, at least, you know, going into the season, I'm still fully on board with the tank. And, you know, I realize that losses are good in net for the team in the end. But, like, you know, when I watch a game, I was still, like, kind of root for them to win. Like, it's a lot more fun when the Padres win and you're watching, especially if you go to the game, but even if you're just watching at home, right? Like,
yeah,
it's fun to watch, you know, Will Myers hit homers or whatever. But, you know, it recently, I don't know, something flipped in me. Like, I think, you know, last time we talked about how, or I guess before the last time we talked, how the Padres, they're not tanking very successfully. And that's a problem. And I don't know, a combination between that and just, I don't know, just, they aren't, it's, man, I'm actually just full on rooting for them to lose now. Like, you know, I'm very happy when the Rockies put up, you know, 18 runs on us, even though, well, 18 runs isn't that necessary. But, man, like, against the Giants, they should not have won that series. That was a very painful series for the Padres to win. I was rooting against them when I was watching that series. And I wasn't like that before. It's something changed in me. What about you?
I mean, I think today was definitely overkill. On the plus side, they didn't use a lot of pitchers. Because normally, if you lose a game by 18, you've gone through a bunch. And I think they only used 4. So, I mean, the bullpen didn't get destroyed today, so I mean that's good, I guess. Yeah, I mean I don't want them to, you know, obviously if they're going to lose, I'm okay with finding like the small victories. It's like, oh hey, like Will Myers got a couple hits, you know, Brad Hand upped his trade value again. Like those are things that I care more about, the wins. And so the first two losses to the Rockies, you know, they lost by a couple runs. Some good things happened. You know, it's hard to get too excited about like Jabari Blash hitting a home run, but you know that's not a bad thing.
He hit some big home runs. That's exciting.
Yeah, so, I mean like that's all good, but yeah, losing by a couple touchdowns is probably a little overkill for me. But it's especially frustrating when it happens against the Giants because kind of leading into our we'll kind of be talking about the review of the first half. I've been really surprised that the Padres have been so bad, but still not bad enough.
I don't know. You know, I'm pretty sure the Padres, at the very least, if they're not the leader, they're top three in, well, I guess bottom three in run differential, which is, if you're bottom three or the bottom of the run differential chart. So if you're getting a ton more runs scored against you than you're scoring, you're supposed to be the worst team. And that's just not happening. And I guess it's because of games like today where the Padres will lose the 18-4 game, but then we'll win the 2-1 game, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that kind of indicates, at least you would think that would indicate, that the Padres will start to lose more consistently, but it's just not happening yet, which is kind of scary.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's dig in a little bit to, I know it's been a week or so since the All-Star game, but we haven't talked for a while. So let's just kind of wrap up the second half or the first half of the season with a bow, and then we'll dig into some other stuff. So we'll start with the short stuff first. Good things from the first half. What do you think, Chad? What were some positives that you saw from the first half? Did you see any positives from the first half?
I mean, of course, yeah. It's wait one second. No, I think a positive at least has to be Austin Hedges. And, he's still not hitting exactly the way we would like.
Yeah.
I mean, he's still sporting a 218 batting average.
Yeah.
Which isn't fantastic. But his defense has been on point, and I'm pretty sure at this point we can also credit a lot of the pitching success to him. So because, you know, the Padres broadcasts, they talk about it all the time, how Balsley just lets Hedges run the little pregame meeting with the starting pitchers now, which is, I guess it makes sense that they repeat it a lot, because that's pretty crazy, especially for, he's basically a rookie. I mean, fine, he's not really a rookie, but, you know, super young catcher, he's only 24, and Darren Balsley is basically universally praised for his, for how he works with pitchers and the kind of preparation he has for games, so... With catchers, it's always hard to determine what their value is, but, I mean, this, yes, our swoon is 100% justified with Hedges, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I think especially, I mean, I know they played the last couple games in Colorado, but, I mean, there's just such a huge difference between the pitching when Hedges is catching and when it's Sanchez or Torres.
Oh, Hector Sanchez. It's... Man, do you see a while back somebody wrote an article? I think it might have been one of the Sack Bunk guys of Sanchez's framing and how it's like, it's so painful to watch. He shoves his glove hand and like throws it out of the zone for every pitch. It seems kind of crazy, but
so yeah, I think and probably there's also just a lot of things that you can't quantify, like calling a game. All the pregame stuff, just the confidence that you have in Hedges, and having him out the last couple of games, I think is exposed the pitching, because I think probably a positive, I guess unless you're, obviously it's hurting the tank, but the pitching has not been as bad for the first, it's been so bad the last week, so it's hard to, the pitching staff hasn't been that bad. I mean, it has been bad the last couple of days, but overall, they weren't as bad as I thought they would be. And I think that you can kind of attribute that, a lot of that, to Austin Hedges. And so even though he's not he has been hitting well, he does have that power, which I think it definitely adds to, it gives him something. So it
definitely gives him value. I mean, he's at 13 homers already. Even if he doesn't hit them anymore for the rest of the year, odds are he'll end with something at least like 20, if not 30.
Yeah.
And that's actually pretty dang good for a catcher.
I wrote a piece last week it's called the projections and predictions for the second half, and I talked about Hedges, at the break he had 13 home runs over the season if he followed with that same rate, and obviously that might change because of time spent on the DL, but that would project at a 24 on the season. If that happened, or even if he got in a 20, if you told me that at the beginning of the season, I would definitely take that regardless of whatever, as long as it's above the Mendoza line for batting average, I think that's all right. And so far with his defense, Baseball Prospectus has him as the fourth best framer in the league and the sixth best defensive catcher in the league with 9.5 fielding runs above average. So the fact that he's able to do that, to do what he's done with the pitching staff, I think is a big plus to Hedges. So he's been a highlight for me. There's been a couple other.
And we have to hope that he's only going to get better too, right?
Yeah, I would definitely say so. I mean, and I think the bat's going to pick up because it already has. I mean, if you look at his numbers just from his first stint with the Padres, and I mean, it's
OPS of like 450.
I don't know. It was rough, and so I think that'll continue to get better. And I'm definitely. We'll get to the disappointing things later. And even though Hedges hasn't done, you know, obviously we'd want him to do a little better than he is now. But I wouldn't say that I'm disappointed with him at all. I'd say that he's definitely been the highlight, one of the highlights of the team. I would say Brad Hand. I think last year we thought he was a pretty good trade chip, but he's definitely up that this year. We can talk more about some trade deadline stuff in a little bit now. We'll probably do some as we get closer to the trade deadline next week. But having him kind of emerge as I think I read somewhere or it's like it's kind of getting outside of San Diego now. It's not just we know he's good. Lots of people are knowing about Brad Hand, and so hopefully that can kind of boost his trade value. I made a list.
Franchi's back up. Did you know that?
I know that. Of course I knew that. I put that as one of my positives, not that he's been doing great, but just the fact that, and actually in the podcast that is, locked away in the Padres Perceptus vault, I had a conversation with Travis about Franchi, and he is much less of a fan of Franchi than I am. I'm obviously biased.
How is that possible?
But it's like, I'm not saying that Franchi is good. He's my guy. I mean, that doesn't mean that he's the best. I just like him. So, the fact that he was in single A or he was in high A last year at the beginning of the season, and now he's in the majors. I think it's a pretty sweet story,
at least.
Yeah, I mean, I think he definitely projects to be at least a major league player, like at least a major league bench piece, which you wouldn't have thought that a year ago, looking at his numbers. So,
and it's pretty valuable. Yeah. If you think about it, especially because he can play center field. So, I mean, if you're going to have a bench outfielder, you probably need him to be a center fielder. Yeah. So, I mean, that's decent value. I mean, if we can get kind of more of these diamonds in the rough-ish, I don't know if we want to describe Franchi as a diamond right now, but, if we can get these decent major leaguers from the farm system where we would not have found them otherwise, that's really good, actually, even if they're not the all-stars and the MVPs that we're going to need to hoist the team into competitiveness.
Yeah. Yeah, so Franchi is definitely a plus for me, and he got brought back up today, and I don't think he got a hit, and I think he got taken out earlier. They kind of took out they took out their best players, like Will Myers and Eric Ibar, toward the end of the game, and I can only assume that they included Franchi as one of those best players. They took him out too, but
I don't know how they wouldn't. So,
but other highlights. I also, aside from Franchi, Hedges, and Hand, I included Jose Pirella and Kirby Yates. Nothing against those two players, but I think that's where we're at as Potter fans. That Kirby Yates and Jose Pirella are on the pro side of things that have gone right for the Padres this year. And obviously Pirella, he's been playing well enough to make some starts. And Kirby Yates,
he's our third best batter.
Yeah. If you told me that, I mean, and I feel bad because like the whole season I've been looking, I check the stats, almost every night, at least of some teams. But with El Paso, I've been like, oh, whatever. I mean, if Franchi's not in, maybe check on like a Suaje or like Schimpf when he got sent down. But I'm like, oh yeah, Pirella. I'm like, yeah, he's got good numbers, but he's not gonna do anything in the majors. And so to his credit, he's been doing better. Jabari Blash has been hitting well. Okay, we should just stop now because I mean, we're just digging. But Kirby Yates, I hadn't put this on the agenda. Do you see Kirby Yates as being a obviously Brad Hand is probably our biggest trade asset. Do you think Kirby Yates is gone at the trade deadline? Do you think we can get something for him?
Oh, I definitely think Kirby Yates actually has decent value. I mean, at the very least, decent right now. I would be surprised if he gets traded at this deadline. I think just because let's kind of look at the timeline of Brad Hand. He got claimed last year at the beginning of the season, and he's going to get traded this deadline. Kirby Yates actually has done amazingly well for us this year. He's the team leader in ERA Plus, which is kind of like a standardized metric for pitching. And he's been lights out this year. He's a 1.91 ERA, almost 14 strikeouts per nine. Besides being left-handed, I mean, Kirby Yates might be better than Brad Hand. And also, what's really exciting, he has three more years of control in his contract. So I don't think if we trade Kirby Yates at this deadline, I don't think that's going to be getting the most value we can extract from him. Mm-hmm. Because I'm a big fan of Kirby Yates. I'm hopping on board with the bandwagon for him. So I think it makes a lot of sense to let him continue to build up value here, to prove to teams that, you know, this isn't just a 28 innings of nothingness, to get a bigger sample size.
Yeah.
And then hopefully trade him at the next deadline for a decent haul. It won't be a Brad Hand haul, just because Brad Hand's a lefty, I think, and probably the better pitcher anyways. But a right-handed reliever who's like a sub-2 ERA, if that continues, that's awesome. With like 3 years of control left, that's a lot of value.
Yeah.
So I'm a big fan. I don't think he gets traded this deadline unless they get a really nice return for him.
Yeah, I like him. All right. Well, onto the what hasn't been good portion of the agenda. And I actually put a note here that says, let's not go too long on this because it will be easy to pile on, and it's obvious at this point that the Padres have been bad. No reason to make this a painfully unlistenable podcast. So that will be the challenge. Because, I don't normally consider myself like a glass half full type person, I guess. I mean, kind of like a realist. But I think with the Padres, you can't... I think if you're like one of those like negative people, what do you do as a Padres fan, man? Like, it's so easy to see all the bad things. So let's just get through it. I think everyone knows kind of the points that we're going to hit. So the first thing, Will Myers, big contract in the offseason, his hitting, I don't know if his defense has been improving, but his hitting, has, aside from, a couple of hits in the Rocky series, has not been great. We actually have a Twitter question from Dante. It says, is Will Myers slumping, or does he just not care now that he's paid? And I think that might be in reference to today I was listening to on the radio. I was driving around. And he hit a ball high and deep, and I was trying to listen to Jesse Agler describe it, and it was like, and it's, is it gone? And he said something like, and it's off the wall. That'll be a single. And I was like, what? I was like, it's off the wall. It's a single. And so like, I like pulled over, and I was like, hey, everybody that's watching the game, I listened on the radio, like, should that have been more than a single? Because they kind of just left it at that. There was like a long pause where no one said anything. And then they're like, all right, well, Myers is on first base. And I was like, what? And so I think there's a few that have, I don't know if it's they're questioning his ethic or they're just, criticizing him for admiring a home run that didn't go out, which never just happened before to players. But
well, it happened to Myers. Like, he did this earlier this year, too.
I think it's happened a couple. Yeah.
Yeah.
Happened a couple of times. So what do you think? Yeah. I mean, I guess the question is, he slumping? I mean, I think that has to be a yes. Or, I mean, I don't think he's like as bad as he's been playing, right? Please tell me.
This, I mean, we have Chad, to hope. Tell me this is
a
right?
slump. Tell me it's a slump, Chad.
Talk it's to me off the ledge. A slump, but it might be permanent. I mean, God, why? Yes, why does it always happen? Why can't he just be good?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're hoping for. I think the next one on the list is Renfro, and I think we kind of were hoping more of both of those players. The fact is, I think that we might just have to come. Obviously, it's still early. Myers is not super young, and neither is Renfro. I mean, even though he's a rookie, he's a college guy. Neither one of them are super young. They're probably pretty close to their prime if they're not there yet.
Wasn't Renfro 25?
Yeah, we just might have to come to grips with the fact that, are they bad major leaguers? I don't think so. Do they have slumps? Yeah. Are they pieces that you can build around for like a championship team? I think the answer right now seems like it's probably going to be no. So
yeah, there's a big kind of Twitter conversation the other day, kind of about, it was about other things, but we ended up talking about the Dodgers and the Padres and how the Dodgers just have a great farm system, some great young players at their major league level, and they have a massive payroll. And they're probably going to be the Padres' biggest problem for when we want to start being competitive. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I mean, just like we compare the quote-unquote first wave, because that's something that ownership of the Padres likes to use a lot.
Yeah.
Of the Padres versus, let's say, the Dodgers. I mean, the Dodgers have Corey Seager, Cody Bellinger, Jock Peterson, who's actually, like, even though it's kind of gone down in recent years. He's gone down from his big rookie year, especially. He's still actually pretty decent. He has as much WAR as Manny Margot right now, which is very frustrating.
Yeah.
Julio Urias, if he comes back from that nasty shoulder surgery, though. But I mean, just Seager and Bellinger alone. Those are two MVP caliber players, and that's the Dodgers' first wave.
Yeah.
And our first wave is Hunter Renfroe, Manuel Margot, who's, again, I'm kind of starting to lean that Margot has been a little disappointing this year.
Yeah, he was next on my list for...
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Sorry. Hedges, who's been a good catcher, but he probably needs to start hitting more him hitting more would be a big benefit, a much bigger benefit to the team. And, maybe like Dinelson Lamet, who's been so up and down and like, wishy-washy about whether he's going to be great or not.
Yeah.
It's not making me feel too great. Let's just say that.
Yeah. I think we're still at the point where, the first wave so far has been unimpressive. And we're not trying to be good this year, so it doesn't really... I feel like I'm not really panicking yet.
Right,
do I feel confident about? I mean, I think it was Tim over at Gas and Ball did like a post, and it was like, how confident are you in the Padres' plan? And I think, am I confident in that they're choosing the right plan? I think they're on the right path. Mm-hmm. That doesn't always mean that they're gonna be good though, because like you could do all these things, and It could just not work out. All the guys that we draft first, all the big, I don't want to even name any names. I don't want to jinx it. But it's like, all the ones that we have in the farm system, if they don't pan out or they turn into, they turn into Sean Burroughs, then, or Matt Bush or Donovan Tate, then it's like, okay, well, we tried. We did the right thing. We had a good plan. The process was good, but that doesn't guarantee results. And I think that, I think Will Myers and Hunter Renfroe, at the time I was like, yeah, it's a great signing. Yeah, it's a great pick. Bring him up. He'll do well. And that to this point has not been the case. And we kind of already talked about it. Manuel Margot, he was injured for a little bit, and I think the defense has been all right in the outfield, but
it's been kind of rough recently though. But
it's been a little rough, and just not getting on. Not getting on base.
Striking out a lot, actually, too.
Yeah, I was...
That's the most surprising part to me, is how much he's striking out.
Yeah. When I was recording with Travis, it must have been deleted, or I must have just erased or something, but I had the walk rate and strikeout rates of all the... of Myers, Renfroe, Hedges, and Margot. I think Hunter Renfroe, at the time of the All-Star break, was out walking Austin Hedges and Manny Margot. And that is not a good recipe for success, because that's not his strong point. He hardly walks, and he's doing more than them. So,
Margot has like a 6% walk rate.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially, for the expectations, I think, for Margot were a lot higher than Renfroe.
Yeah.
And of course, Margot is going to have value because of his defense, kind of no matter what, as long as he can still be fast and hopefully fixes up the recent weird thing he's been doing with kind of iffy defense. But, I mean, his strikeouts, like a 22% strikeout rate, a 6% walk rate, he needs to get on base a lot more. He's not going to be a power guy ever. And yeah, he's going to need to get on base, and he's going to need to be stealing.
Yeah.
And it's just not happening.
Yeah.
And I guess on the other hand, you know, to be more fair, you know, Margot is like 22. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even Renfroe, even though he's like 25, I think. Yeah, he's 25. All these guys, they're still young. There's still time for them to turn around. But I think also right now our conversation, we're kind of getting a little plagued by the tank. And it's hard to not be so negative when, you know, games like today is happening or are happening. But you know, there's still time, you know, for the ship to be corrected.
Yeah.
But it's just so painful to see the Dodgers be so successful.
Yeah, I think the message, because I think a lot, because what it comes down to for me, it's like, well, what are we supposed to do? I mean, obviously with Ryan Schimpf, you send him down, you know, because we have people that can play that position that need playing time too. Oh, well, Schimpf's struggling. Well, let's put in Spangenberg and see how he does. Let's put Aswahe in, see how he does. But I don't want to send down Margot or Renfroe. Like, they need to stay up here. So, you know, we're not trying to win. See how they do. Give them some time. And, you know, we'll just hope that something clicks. Because, they're still rookies. And, you know, obviously you get better usually as you play baseball. So, I think the last couple things I had on here, injuries. Solarte being injured, I think, is definitely
hurt. He needs to get back so we can trade him.
Yeah, that's been a rough one.
He's gonna J us.
Yeah,
I can feel it.
Well, it's like one just because I like him, so it's like you know, keep him or trade him, but I want to watch him play, or I want to get someone for him. So just having him injured hurts. You know, Renfro's out right now. Margot is down for a little bit. Dickerson and Jankowski have been.
Well, Jankowski's been playing a couple AZL games. You know, he played in Mackenzie Gore's debut.
Yeah, I heard he got hit in the hand. Like, I heard he got hit by a pitch like early on. I think he played after that though. So, but at the time, I was like, figures. Miguel Diaz has been injured. There's probably a few others that I'm forgetting. Obviously, Austin Hedges' injury. We don't need to go too into it right now. But man, how frustrating is that? That it's like, he's coming back. Don't worry about it, guys. Just a foul ball and face mask. We'll be in tomorrow. They put him in the lineup. Scratch him. No, never mind. It's actually, he's still, you know, feeling hazy. It's not a concussion, though. He's just feeling hazy.
How does that happen? I don't understand. This is like Chargers stuff. I don't know if you saw, but kind of unrelated, you know, Charger talk right here. Like, their first round pick is probably, like, there's a good chance he's going to be out for this season. Lol. Man. Karma, or sorry. Anyways, back. I don't know how you. Okay, yes, we're not medical professionals and everything.
Yes,
but they say. I mean, he passed all the. Cassavo, I think, tweeted out he passed all their tests. Their trainers, who you know, obviously know concussion protocol stuff, said he's fine. But they're like, ooh, he's still hazy. And then now he's on the concussion DL. Like, what is happening? What is happening? How does this happen?
Like, I mean, I guess it's good that they didn't like try to play him and then take him out of the game. Like, that would probably be worse, I guess. Yeah. But it's another example of the. I mean, maybe all fan bases are like this, but I feel like with the Padres especially, it just seems like it's like you. I mean, obviously they want to control the message. We've seen that lots of times, but it just seems strange that it's like, hey man, like, how much money do you guys have? Like, do you have like poor healthcare for these players? Like, are you trying to like save money on like getting them checked? It just seems strange that it's like that everything takes so long before they, you know, before something happens. So
yeah, you know, like last year, I think they didn't give Tyson Ross like an MRI for like a week or a couple weeks or something like that.
Yeah, it was a while.
Which it's like how much can that possibly cost you? Like, a couple $1,000s? Like, that's, sure, that's expensive for the individual, but for the multi-billion dollar company that is the San Diego Padres, especially for how much Tyson Ross is worth to the club. Just, oh my God. Why not? What do you have to lose? Just do it. Please. Or like, you know, Anderson Espinosa, just get him an MRI right off the bat.
I was just gonna say, have we gotten like an actual straight answer from the Padres on what's up with him, or is it still just he's?
He's on a throwing program.
That's been the extent.
But that's been like that for a couple weeks. Yeah, so okay. You know, I know honestly, I'm not too bothered with Espinosa's thing. You know, at least he's back throwing now. At least you know, and yes, he did get an MRI. It was all clear, all good. I'm totally fine with him just missing this year. Whatever. Like, you know, he'll be 20 next year. He'll still be super young if he goes back to Lake Elsinore for that league.
Yeah.
And there's, yeah, the last thing I think either of us or anybody wants is for them to be like, oh, we got to get him back
rush
and then
him out,
hurt him
yeah.
more. So
yeah.
Okay. So that's fine. But yeah, I mean, even for Espinosa, I think they, like, it was kind of wishy-washy for a little bit of whether or not they got him an MRI or some kind of imaging.
Yeah.
So I'm just... Please just install one in the clubhouse and send everyone through it once a day, okay? Like, it can't be that expensive. Please.
All right, last thing on the bad side for the Padres is the fact that they have been so bad and still have a better record than the Giants. They can't even tank right. I think that's probably the most frustrating thing. It's like you go through the pain and you hope that you see some sort of result, some positive result from it. And if this season goes how it is right now and we're still ahead of the Giants, that's going to be a kick in the pants for me.
God. I mean, I was hoping... We talked about this last time also. You have to think the Giants are going to get better, but they're just not.
that series where they play the Giants, it was like, okay, how bad can they really be? And it was like, oh, wow, yeah, they are pretty bad.
Man, that was a... We needed to get swept there. That was, I think that was the series when I started to say, you know what? They need to lose this. Like, it's very important for them to lose this. Yeah. But no. And, gosh. Yeah. Even when Madison Bumgarner came back, he made his first start against us, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm still thinking him coming back will hopefully help take the Giants out of the tank competition. He had a great start against us, and they still blew it.
I mean, well, he had a great start, but, I mean, he gave up home runs to Matt Caesar.
Yeah.
I forgot he was on the team. I think was Jabari yeah, Blash one of those two?
I don't think he was up then by then. Maybe.
Yeah, sure. I don't know. So, I think the Phillies are going to be hard to catch anyways, but number two would still be all right. But, yeah, we got to – I mean, and I think we'll see. Hopefully we see a couple of players traded that kind of – you know, helps the tank as we go on for the rest of the season. But.
Yeah, you know, I was actually, I was looking at the team's, you know, like pitching stats. And going back to kind of ERA plus, which is, again, is like standardized, 100 is average. The Padres have 5 above average pitchers on the team, which is, first of all, that's kind of funny to laugh at the first place, just because it's only 5. But then also, the ones that are above average are Kirby Yates, who, again, I think he'll stay this year. But then Brad Hand, Cahill, Buchter, Salmon. They should be gone. Like, I think they should all be gone. And that will hopefully lose us a lot more games when we have, you know, Jose Torres. Or he might even get traded, too. But, you know, when we have a lot more innings for Brandon Mauer to pitch in.
And Bush.
Oh my God, dude. He gave up 6 runs today. Yeah, he's an ERA in the 7s. Yeah, well, when, you know, a lot more... God. That should help us, let's just say that. I'm looking forward... That's probably one of the main reasons I'm looking forward to this trade deadline. Not only because I love, you know, the whole trading, everything, and, you know, the process behind trades and analyzing trades. That's all good. But the Padres should get a lot worse after the trade deadline, and that's important.
Yeah. All right, well, rather than the Padre talk, we had a question, and you can send us questions, you know, throughout the
whenever.
Week. But, whenever you want. But Dante, he was very adamant on Twitter. He said, do you think we'll see Carter Capps back with the big league team? He actually had some pretty good starts, I guess, because he's not starting. But, yes, he had some decent appearance. I think he struck out the side in an inning in his last game. I don't have it in front of me, but I still don't know that we're getting the Carter Capps that we were hoping for when we traded for him. What do you think? Do you think he makes it up to the team?
This year?
Yeah.
Probably not, right? Actually, you know what?
I mean, like, if they got the bullpen, then...
Yeah. I mean, you know what?
Why not?
Yeah, maybe. Like, yeah, they got the bullpen... And it's not like they can throw up any old AAA arm in there. Yeah, you know what? That actually would make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, right now...
Probably... Yeah.
Let's see. Right now, he's got a 3.12 ERA, and 10 games ago was at 6.75, so he's been throwing some goose eggs. Yeah, he struck out the side his last inning that he pitched. It was one in the third innings, and he had 3 strikeouts, so... Don't know how
his last,
that.
Yeah. I mean, last 10 innings, he hasn't allowed an earned run. Yeah. So he's gotten a lot better.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think the question isn't so much. I mean, I think with all minor league numbers, I think especially with caps, it's not so much what his numbers look like, but how fast is he throwing? I don't think
he's up there again.
Yeah. I think that between the injury and tweaking his mechanics so that things are legal, although I haven't heard of anything else of him, you know, because there's that one game where he had a bunch of, you know, legal pitches. I haven't heard of that happening again. So, yeah, I'd say it comes up. How effective is he? You know, we'll see. I'd say he gets a shot.
My only concern with caps is that next year is his last year of team of arbitration of his, you know, of his first 6-year team control contract, which, you know, if we want the whole point of us getting Carter Capps from the Marlins when he was recovering from his injury was to
buy low, sell high.
Exactly. And for us to sell high on Carter Capps, he needs to be good, which is, you know, we'll put that to the side right now. Yeah. But B, he needs to have control. And he only has one more year because no way he's going to get traded this year. I'd be very surprised if he gets traded this offseason just because he's going to have like max like 10 innings, maybe 15 by the end of the year. I mean, maybe even 20, sure. Which still isn't enough for a person coming back from Tommy John surgery. Then he has one more year.
Yeah.
I would actually really, really like if the Padres gave him a little extension for maybe 1 or 2 more years, for even if it's like a couple $1 million, like $2 million a year. I think actually that's something that would make sense for both sides.
Yeah.
For the Padres, obviously, to get more control. For Caps, obviously, because he's coming back from a major surgery, so he'd like some guaranteed cash.
Yeah, I can see that.
And I would like that a lot. Yeah. So that's my only worry with Caps right now. Okay. And, you know, it's actually, I haven't checked up on his stats. It's nice that he's been doing a lot better down at AAA, so that's cool.
Yeah, yeah. I guess, and just to wrap up the Padres talk, we don't need to go too much because we have already had a podcast devoted to this, but I think for me, close of the first half, I think the moment that sticks out for me, like there's like a handful of things that when I think of like, oh, 2016, that was the year that this happened. Or, you know, that was the year that so-and-so hit that home run, or there was that one moment where I jumped up and screamed in my living room and I woke up my kids. Like, you know, I have those memories like that. I think so far the one that has stuck out the most for me has not been a positive. It's been that Rizzo home run the day after he took out Hedges, and everyone was talking about how soft Andy Green was or how horrible you are if you think that they should throw out Rizzo. I think for me, unless something changes, I think 2017, oh yeah, that's the year that Hedges got beat up and Rizzo made us look like chumps. I think so far that's what this year is. So maybe it's the year that we, you know, that Fernando Tatis has a breakout year, and we'll get to that later. Maybe it's the year that we trade Brad Hand for someone who becomes a Hall of Famer. Those would be great. I'd love those things. I think so far... I think that's the thing that sticks out the most for me. Although, I guess, personally, I did go to a Padres game this year. We talked about that before. I saw them play against the Rangers in Texas, and Mike Napoli hit a walk-off home run. So I guess that is the other thing that sticks out for me, which is also not very positive. So what about you, Chad? Do you got anything that sticks out to you?
That was a massive home run, too. I bet that was fun in the stadium.
It was
the walk-off against Maurer.
Yeah, they loved it. Yeah, they loved it.
Yeah, I mean, man, I guess if I had a choice, I would just like erase this season from memory. But if I have to, you know, remember this season, the only real notable thing so far has been the Rizzo ordeal, right. And maybe we also look back at this year of, you know, the beginning of the end for Myers.
I mean, or hey, well, I guess Franchi's debut. I guess I also have that.
Yeah, so. Okay, yeah, okay, that's right. Hoffer Franchi, that's man.
You know, Ron Fowler. This could have been the year that you could have been the year you brought back Brown full time. That would have been a great memory. But instead, we're kind of picking up the straps. So, all right, on to the minors, which is kind of the thing that's obviously easy to be more positive about.
Yes.
So I have a bunch of things listed. We'll get to it wherever we can. Today, Javier Guerra was promoted to Double A.
Yeah.
Away from Lake Elsinore. So.
Yeah. What's your take on that, huh?
Well, it makes zero sense to me based solely on Guerra's performance in Lake Elsinore. I wrote just a little bit about it just to kind of get my thoughts together on the site, and his numbers in the season, he's slugging .358, he's batting .226 with a .227 on base percentage. In July, he has done much better.
Especially recently,
he's been hot. He's batting .270. He's been getting on base at a .313 on base percentage. His slugging is actually .492, so that's actually a good number. But I mean, you wouldn't look at that and say, "Oh wow, that person definitely needs to go up to the next level." I thought for sure that he'd stay there. The only reason that it does make sense is if you're bringing up Fernando Tatis Jr. to hire.
Right.
So if that's the case, then I don't know how much that hurts Guerra's performance at this point. Maybe you don't care about it. I mean, just because the Texas League is a much harder league to hit in than the Cal League. Obviously, you're facing advanced pitching, but it's also at a different altitude. And it's not as dry there. It's a lot more humid, so the ball doesn't. I mean, I guess in the summertime on a day game it might be okay, but it seems like it's pretty much said that it's easier hit in the Cali than Texas League. So I don't really see his hitting getting better. The main thing for him is his defense, which I put in the piece that he could be the best defensive shortstop in the system. Not saying a whole lot because there's a bunch of kind of hacks in the system. It's like Ibar's at the top. Cordoba is a shortstop that they don't even let play shortstop. Jose Rondon at AAA is all right, but he's not spectacular. Even Fernando Tatis Jr. has 20 errors, I think, on the season. So it's not like he's made some great plays, but there are others that he doesn't make. So I think I think that the ceiling for Guerra is lowering. But like I said, if they want to bring up Tatis Jr., I think you still want to give Guerra at bats, and I don't know that you really get a whole lot out of moving him down to single A. I don't think that's really going to do a whole lot for him. So I guess we'll move him up to double A. And it's not a bad idea, but I don't think that you would do that unless you had Tatis banging down the door to get to high A. So what do you think?
Yeah, I guess. My only real thoughts, I agree with basically everything you said. I guess we can hope that, the change of scenery will actually, mean something to him. Again, we talked about this a while before, how it seems that a lot of Guerra's problems have been, mental. Mm. And, it's just confidence or, a slurry of other things. Maybe getting a change of scenery, going to Texas, will actually help him. Who knows? At this point, I don't see it hurting. It could hurt him a lot because the pitching is probably better. Yeah. But at this point, why not try it, I guess? Yeah. Especially if, Tatis is going to come up.
Yeah. I guess maybe, if Tatis does so well in high A this year, do you think they'd put him in double A to start next year? That seems pretty aggressive to me. But maybe they could put Guerra back in high. I don't see Guerra going to triple A at the beginning of next season. So I guess just looking at that shuffle,
Generally it seems that the Padres kind of do this pattern of you start a year at a level. And then, midway through the season, as long as you're doing well, you go up to the next level and you play the rest of the year there. Next year, you start at that level you got to last year, play for half the year. If you do well enough, then you go up half, you know, halfway through the season to the next level. So I think if even if he does go to Lake Elsinore this year, which I mean, although, you know, there's been some tweets that, like, the manager of the Tin Cap said that he's heard nothing about him getting promoted, and he played tonight despite Guerra going up to Double A. I say there's a decent chance he gets to Lake Elsinore this year.
Yeah.
And so he'll probably, my guess would be he starts in Lake Elsinore next year and then hopefully kills it some more, and then you can get a, you get to see him at San Antonio.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Speaking of people that you can see in San Antonio, Luis Urias, my boy, looks like he's finally out of his slump. He was hitting, man, look at the stat line. He was hitting 211, 336, which is a pretty good OBP, slugging 229 for his last 30 games. And then last week, he kind of broke out of it. He hit 407, had a double, walked once. Yeah, actually had three strikeouts, which is kind of more. Usually he walks more than he strikes out, but he still has more walks than strikeouts on the season. So I think he's kind of bust out of his slump. Not, you know, not to the degree where you would. I saw some people said, like, hey, do you think Urias is moving up to AAA? And I really don't see that happening. I don't think that's why Guerra's moving up. I don't think it's because Urias is going up too. I think he is breaking out of a slump. I think having Guerra at short, you can kind of put him back at second because he's been playing short a lot, which is not where he feels. Like, you know, he's...
It's not his future, no.
Yeah, it's not his future. I mean, he's told me, he's like, oh, yeah, I feel more comfortable. I have way more confidence. He's like, oh, yeah, I have all the confidence of how I play at second base. And
You know, they said that the reason he's at short is to improve his footwork, and that's not going to be where he's at. So
yeah, and so I think maybe that'll give him one less thing to think about. Maybe that kind of breaks him, helps him get out of that slump that he was in. So that's good. I think the...
Although, not to throw some cold water on your party here, since June 1st, he only has three extra base hits. Which are all doubles, so not even a triple or a home run.
Yeah, no, yeah, I knew, yeah. So, I'm just saying last week. Last week he had 407. That's what I said, okay?
Ignore that.
No, yeah, I mean, so that's what I was saying. Maybe. He hasn't totally broken out of a slump, it's like literally his last 30 games have been his worst 30 games of his, like, Padres organization career.
Yeah, probably of his life.
Yeah,
right?
Probably. Yeah. So, but I think he looks like he's breaking out of it. It's instead of, you know, the big numbers you want to see, it's going one for three, 2 for 4, but with some singles and a walk. It's nothing that's spectacular, but it's definitely better than what he was doing before. So,
yeah,
keep it up, Luis. We love you.
We love you.
Moving on to the pitchers that have joined the missions recently. Basically, the Storm have
rotation
have just kind of moved to Texas. So,
except for Knicks,
Eric Lauer's made a few starts to the missions. Joey Lucchese has made a few starts. Cal Quantrill made his debut last week, been mixed reviews. I think Lauer's probably been the most successful out of the three.
Yep.
Lucchese
just had a good start, though. I think his most recent one was pretty good.
Yeah. Lucchese, I mean, it was okay. I think he had. He left some guys on base, and I think the reliever that came in let him come in. So he went 6 1/3 and gave up 3 runs, but one of them.
Oh, you know, I actually might have been thinking the one before that, though. Yeah. But I mean, beyond his first one was a bit shaky.
Yeah.
As was the title of the post I wrote.
Yeah.
But beyond that, he's been all right.
Yeah.
Which I don't think we expected him to continue to dominate like he did at Lake Elsinore. So that's fine. Yeah. And, although he's like 26, I think. Right?
Yeah, he's 24. He's 24.
Oh, okay, never mind.
He just turned 24.
So, yeah, sure. I mean, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's good. Looking good.
Yeah, he's doing all right. Eric Lauer.
Lauer's been the most impressive, easily, yeah.
Yeah, Lauer had he had a rough start. He got roughed up a little bit last start. He gave up 5 runs in 5 2/3.
But he still has like a mid-2s ERA, I think, because his others have been so good. So.
Well, his ERA is 3.44, I guess with him, the one thing that I'm a little worried about is he's given up hits. He gave up 7 hits his first start, 5 hits his second start, 9 hits his third start. His first start was great. He went 7 2/3 with 7 hits, no walks, 9 strikeouts. But the other ones, giving up 5 hits in 5 innings, 9 hits in 5 2/3, with only 7 strikeouts between those two. So I'm not worried about Eric Lauer. I think he's probably has kind of like the lower ceiling, highest floor out of the bunch. Yeah, so that's kind of just an update on him. Cal Quantrill made his debut, and it was pretty rough.
It was. You know, we were both watching it, right?
I was watching it. Yeah.
Yeah, I was watching it too. Yeah.
I guess it's having not watched many of his starts just because they're hardly on in high A. It was just interesting to finally get to see how it was going because, you know, the game we went to, we saw Cunningham pitch.
So, yeah, that was great.
But, I mean, like, just like locating his fastball was, I mean, his curve missed pretty close. I mean, so I think his secondary.
His stuff was impressive.
Yeah, I mean, his secondary looked pretty good. He just had a hard time, like, locating his fastball, which just, you know, kind of just, I didn't think that was an issue that he had. Just his first start, so maybe a little nervous, I guess. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we kind of said what was going on. That, I mean, his fastball control is just probably, I mean, or I guess maybe just control in total is probably his biggest problem right now. And that's okay, considering, you know, he still has time to fix that, and he's coming off of Tommy John surgery, and control is one of the last things to come back. Because you basically have to learn to pitch again. But, I mean, he must have bounced, like, what? Like, 8 or 9 fastballs that weren't supposed to bounce?
Yeah, there's a couple...
His mechanics just kind of get out of whack sometimes.
Yeah, there's a couple pitches that weren't even close. They're just kind of, like, the catcher had to, like, to literally jump up to catch. It wasn't great. We'll see how he rebounds. I think he should be pitching in the next couple days because he pitched on the... On the 15th, and I'm guessing that I think they got a 6-man rotation going down there. They got Quantrill, Lucchese, Lauer, Brett Kennedy, Daniel De Los Santos, and Chris Huffman. So they got 6. So I mean, I think that would be good. Actually, we had a question from Twitter from Keith Sweat. I don't know if that's his given name, but.
Maybe.
But he said, how many starts for Quantrill in the rest of 2017? How many in San Antonio and how many in El Paso? I think that I was surprised that he asked how many starts in El Paso because you don't think he's playing in El Paso this year, do you?
No. Yeah. I think the promotion to San Antonio is a little questionable, even that in and of itself. So El Paso, I think, would make no sense.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that he would get moved up at some point this year. I didn't think it'd be this year. I thought it might be like a August, September call-up. So they brought him up, and, I mean, he wasn't dominating in high A by any stretch. And so, yeah, I definitely think that he's going to be staying in El Paso for the rest of the season. Like we said, they're on a 6-man rotation, so only pitching every 6 days or every 6 games. They don't play every day. I think that'll... Mm-hmm. kind of help him coming back from his injury. Let me see. I'm looking at the schedule right now. They got 1, 2. I'm trying. How many weeks they got left? 1, 2. Let's see. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So they got about 7 weeks left of the season plus playoffs, which I don't think take as long in the minors. I think it's a. I think it only takes about 2 weeks for those two if you go all the way to the end. So I'm guessing. I mean, I'm guessing probably 7 starts.
Yeah, sounds about right.
And he's already made how many on the season? He's made 15. So make 7 more starts, then you're sitting at 21, 22.
And you know that sounds about right because you don't want to overwork the arm coming off of Tommy John surgery.
Yeah, so far he's thrown 79 innings. So if he goes,
he probably should end the year around like 110, I think, right? Sounds about right.
Yeah,
well, maybe a little less, but yeah.
So, okay. So, I mean, I think that's a good. I think him coming back from Tommy John and in the year in San Antonio, I think that's a pretty successful season. We'll see how he does. I don't know that I see him starting in the year AAA. But I think regardless, I think you see him at the earliest. He's like a late season addition to the Padres at the end of the year next year. So
Yep.
Reason to rush him at all. So.
Yep.
Let's see, the last one that I have, and then maybe you can add anything else you want to talk about. I think one of the things I've learned about reading all these names, I never know how to say them. Is it Mikel Baez?
Yes.
Mikel Baez?
Mikel.
Okay.
Yeah. I think so. At least that's how everyone says it.
That's who are you talking to? Do you talk about the Padres to anybody? Because I just read it, so.
I feel like I've heard someone say it before. Okay. Somehow. Actually, that's a good question. I don't know.
Like, I literally talked to... You are the only one I talked about the Padres, so...
Yeah, that's...
So...
Well, maybe when I read it out loud in my head from Twitter, that's it. Yeah.
Because I'm not sure where I heard Lucchesi, because I think for a while I was like, oh, yeah, Lucchesi.
Lucchesi, yeah.
But, so Mikel Baez.
Yes.
How do you feel about him?
Yeah, I mean, oh, man. Let's go. I'm happy. Yeah, yeah, I'm on board. Choo-choo. Like, well, I mean, what's not to love? He's like 6'8". Yes. He throws like upper 90s. Consistently, and there is some. The main question with him is he's also like 20, so
21.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh wow. Okay. So it makes more sense that he'd be dominating, Fort Wayne, but there is the question with him is whether or not if he's just a big fastball from a big guy that's just the Class A hitters in the what league are they in? The Midwest League?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, Midwest.
Sure. Yeah, in the Midwest League, they just can't handle it, which would be something that could be very true.
Could make sense.
Or if he's actually, if he actually has the secondary offerings that you need to become a good pitcher in the major leagues.
Yeah.
And depending on who you ask, he can be either one of those. So, but I mean, if yeah, let's go. I'm ready. Let's go. I'm hyped. Yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
Why not? Let's get excited about something, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, I think there was Travis Barnett, who's one of the co-editors at the site. He lives in Fort Wayne, and he's interviewed a few players. He hasn't talked to Baez, but he did talk to AJ Kennedy, who's the catcher. And I'm looking at it right now, and I'm trying to see what he said. And he's talking about how they used the fastball early, and because he was able to locate it. Just, I'm just going to go ahead and read it. We used pretty much the fastball early in the game because he could locate it, and they couldn't hit it. You know what I mean? So why would I change pitches if they weren't hitting it? but then we just threw curveballs to keep guys off balance. Sometimes they try to ambush the heater early in the count. That's why you kick it in a curveball or change up and try to keep them off that and then go back to the heater. So sounds like a pretty steady diet of fastballs mixed in with a few secondary pitches. Obviously, you can't usually, if you're a starter, you can't just live on that for your whole career. You do got to mix in the rest of the pitches. So from what I'm hearing and seeing and the numbers are saying, it seems like he's just kind of overpowering single A. So I would I think generally speaking, I'm a little more hesitant to move want to move players up. Like, I would probably still have Guerra and Quantrill in high A. I would probably keep Tatis Jr. there in single A the whole season. I don't think there's a rush. Mikel Baez, though, get him up. Yeah, I think he's...
Yeah, he needs to get better competition.
Yeah, I think he's ready for a promotion, so... let's see.
But, I mean, again, what's not to love and what's not to project there, though?
Yeah.
I mean, that's awesome. 6'8", again? Can I just say that again? 6'8"?
Have you met anybody who's 6'8"? Have you face-to-face? I mean, I guess face-to-chest with someone who's 6'8"? Like...
Well, you see, my brother's 6'5".
Yeah.
And so 6'8" would be, I mean, my brother's stupidly tall already.
Yeah.
And so 6'8" would be kind of ridiculous. So I maybe.
Yeah.
Not that I really recall easily, though. Have you?
I think the tallest is 6'6". I knew a guy that played, he actually tried out for the Chargers as just like a practice squad guy. But he was 6'6", 300 pounds. He's the largest person I've met, like, face to, face to chest,
face to body.
I am 5'9", so I'm not that tall. So, all right. Well, anything else you want to talk about from the minors' perspective?
Probably there's not much to talk about here. But Mackenzie Gore made his debut, as I kind of said earlier.
Yeah.
Two innings, I think. Two strikeouts, one walk, maybe a hit or two. I think it's fine.
I think all he had was like an infield hit. Yeah.
And it was like a weird infield single, which happens in the AZL.
Yeah.
AZL. Yeah. So that's awesome, but you know, really not much to report there. Besides, at least he's not injured.
Yeah, I'm definitely getting like with some players, I'm like, hey, be patient. But like with some of those guys in the Arizona League, I'm like, just get him up, man. Get him like. I don't want to make it, especially if you look at the stats for like the AZL teams, like they are playing like Rockies games every game. It's like 11 to 14, and it was like an eighth inning comeback. They scored like 10 runs, and like the there's a guy on the Padres, Jordy Barley. He's hitting the crap out of the ball, and he has like 20 errors in the first like 15 games. So it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, I think I've noticed this, like just having watched so much minor league baseball this year, especially with the Missions, because that's just the team that I follow more. And then like when you actually watch like a major league baseball game, man, they are like those infield singles don't happen as much. And those little flares of the outfield, they don't always land because you got the best players in the world that are going to track that down. So
yeah, you know, it's actually kind of incredible to me how much better the defense is in the major leagues.
Yeah,
It makes sense, but I just wouldn't think that the defense would be as bad as it actually is in some of the minors.
Yeah,
but that's minor league baseball for you, I guess.
Yep, I love it. All right, so we're gonna go ahead and wrap up with some promotion talk. I don't know. Have you seen any of the promotions that the Padres have kind of broadcast the last few days?
The last few days?
Yeah.
Oh, like the swim cap?
The swim cap. Are you going to be going to the game to get your Padres swim cap? I'm wondering, is it like one where everyone gets a swim cap, or do you have to buy...
Probably the first like 200 people.
You had to buy like a special ticket to get the swim cap because it's a high, you know...
Quality product.
Yeah. So between that, I actually did see one that was like a Christmas in July Padres hat that, which I'm always kind of iffy because it's like, do I really want like a red and green Padres hat?
No, I want a brown hat.
Yeah. But anyways, I was kind of just tossing that idea around on Twitter with, either, you know, funny promotional deals that the Padres could do or just actual ones that you'd like to see. And I was reminded of an article beginning of the season on CBS.com. Best promotions in MLB, ranking every team's 2017 giveaways from 1 to 30. Guess where the Padres landed on the 1 to 30 scale?
One.
One being the highest.
I'm going to guess 31. Behind behind some minor league team.
Yeah, they were 30. So they had some interesting ones. I'm trying to look here.
They have the knock around sunglasses every year, which are cool.
I'm actually looking at the other team. So they have the Yankees have like a replica World Series ring giveaway,
I guess that's not something we can hold against the Padres for not doing.
Never. They never had the World Series ring giveaway. What a bunch of
jerks. Idiots!
let's see. They got some bobbleheads, which the Padres don't do.
I think we've had like one maybe this year.
There's a Max. There's a Max Scherzer snow globe and Magic 8 Ball.
That is so sweet.
I would get that. Let's see. I'm looking. Another bobblehead.
Pretty sure the Dodgers have some insane stuff.
Oh, there's a Hanley Ramirez, necklace chain.
like what he wears, like a replica of that?
Yeah, I would.
That's hilarious.
I mean, that'd be kind of cool, I guess.
Yeah.
Let's see. There's more bobbleheads, let's see. Replica jerseys. let's see. I'll scroll up to the top, figure out what the best ones are. The Giants have like a ton of things. There's like a little cable car, with the Giants logo. There's the Noah Syndergaard as Thor bobblehead.
Oh, that is so sick! Yeah, that is probably, I think that's my number one. That is so awesome. Yeah.
There's World Series logo for the Cubs. There's a replica American League champion trophy for the Indians. The Rangers have the Adrian Beltre bobblehead, which I love Adrian Beltre. Ken Griffey Jr. replica statue. So, anyways, a lot of stuff that they are doing to get people to come to the stadium. The Padres, they are not doing poor. They're not doing as bad as you think for a tanking team in attendance, but it's not good by any stretch.
It's gone down from last year.
Yeah, and I think I feel like it might just be because I'm cheap, but and it's like, it's like. Are you really gaining so much from having a mostly empty stadium? You know, lower the price or do something to get fans in the seats. So
yeah.
I went to Twitter and said, "Hey guys, what do you think? Like, what are some promotions that you got to see or that you think would be good?" We had a couple from Dante. Padres Toy Tank Night. It's a double entendre as it honors our military and represents the rest of our season after the trade deadline. I would get that. I'd want that.
That'd be so awesome, but there's like a 0% chance they'd ever do something like that, unfortunately.
Unfortunately. He also said a couple more. Let's see, Tony Gwynn and Trevor Hoffman Funko Pop doll. Have you seen those? Do you know what those are?
No.
They're like little vinyl, like little figures that they usually have for like superheroes or comic book type people, and he said it would tie in with the Comic-Con, because that's kind of a...
Actually, I think that's an interesting point. I feel like there's hardly any kind of...
Like cross-promotion... Like,
yeah, I don't know how that, honestly, so those are Funko Pop dolls. Yes, I do know what those are.
Yeah.
Those are weird, though. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think anything with, like, Tony Gwynn and Trevor Hoffman, like, yes, more of that.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, I mean, with, like, those two and Jerry Coleman, maybe Randy Jones, I mean, yeah, I would take anything with those on them. Dante also said, last one was a golden sombrero promotion. If Will Myers strikes out four times in any game, free carne asada burrito from Lolitas, which I thought was pretty good.
Genius. Genius.
See, Olaf
said, I would go to so many more games for that.
Yeah. Let's see. Olaf says, Padrapes, take home some new window coverings.
That's good. That's good just for the pun alone. Yeah. That's it.
Let's see. Trojan Amy says, stains. Big, beautiful, tacky stains. $5 filled. Is it stains or steins? I don't know. I don't drink, so I don't know how you pronounce it. But anyways, $5 fills.
It's steins.
Yeah, $5 fills that night and deals with each beer fest if you bring your own official, what was it called again? Stein. Okay. All right. Fausto said, bring back the beach towels. We still have all the 90s towels from Jack Murphy Stadium. And,
yeah, I think they actually had a beach towel, or maybe not a beach towel, but a...
I think it was like a mat?
Yeah, that's right, it's like a floor mat. it's not the same,
I guess Padre, kind of similar. Padres doormat, that does sound like it would probably work for the Padres.
Yeah, hey, come walk on over us. we'll have Rizzo's signature on the back.
I know, jeez. All right, so some of the baddest that I came up with. Actual golden sombrero with the brown Padres logo, or I guess with Will Myers' face. I guess either one would be worth.
Actually, like, that would be so sweet. Give us a sombrero promotion. That'd be awesome. Like, of course, they're not going to do a golden sombrero thing with Will Myers, which would be funny, but no. But they're not going to do that. But yeah, why not? Like, come on. There's so many creative, interesting things they can do. It's so disappointing that... Again, especially in such a bad year like this year, they need to have good promotions to get people in the door.
Right.
You know, the Dodgers, who lead the league in attendance and, like, sellouts, they have a great promotional schedule, and they have the best record in the league.
They don't have to do that.
Like, no, they don't! Like,
they could not do that and still have a ton of attendance and still make a ton of money, but they're doing that because they want to be awesome. So
because they're a well-run organization. I mean,
anyways, more of my bad ideas. I have lots of bad ideas to get to.
Yes. Sorry.
All right. Will Myers batting glove night. Since Will Myers doesn't wear batting gloves, they would look like his actual bare hands. So you could, like, wear Will Myers' hands on your hands.
which sounds great until you realize it sounds really creepy.
Sounds kind of creepy, but I didn't say there was a good idea. Next, a Brad Hand bobble hand. So it'd be like Brad Hand, but instead of his head moving, it's his hand, because that's what his last name is.
That's actually great. Like, it would be a bobblehead, but with, like, a supersized left hand that would jiggle around.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually a great idea that they could actually do, but no.
All right, next. I was trying to think of something with Mark Grant. Since we're already doing, like, a like the swim cap, I did a Mark Grant skull cap night. So you could all have, like, the shiny head of Mark Grant.
You know, we'll just pair that with the Will Myers batting glove, and you can
if they want
just look like you skinned someone.
If they
want to
do, like, a Star Wars tie-in, because I have actually, I don't know if you know this, Chad, but I have worn a, like, a DIY Friar robe to a Padres game before.
That is so awesome.
And it was awesome, but it was hard, like, it was hard to make. Or it wasn't, like, hard, but it was kind of a pain. I was like, man, I wish I just already had one. And I've looked online at buying one, but usually you're better, like, instead of, like, putting, like, Padres robe, it's actually better to put, like, Jedi robe. So if you made that into a Star Wars tie-in, like, I
think, yeah, a brown Jedi robe.
Like, a brown Jedi robe, then you just wear it, like, to the game. Like, I think that'd be awesome.
That would be awesome.
And then the last one, for the trade deadline, on the day of the trade deadline, you could have a giveaway jersey with a player to be named later on the back. That was the one that I came up with. So, I think that would actually, that'd probably be a bad one. But it would be funny. I'd laugh at that.
Yeah. I think my best idea of the ones I kind of scribbled down was, you know, those shirts that's like a t-shirt and it's just covered with, like, puppies' faces.
Yeah.
It's like they each have, like, their own space and they kind of, like, merge into each other. It's not it's not a grid or anything.
Yeah.
But it's just, like, covered with, like, faces of cute dogs.
Yeah.
Just that with hedges.
I'd wear that shirt.
Wouldn't that be so awesome?
If they could somehow make it where it's, like, a wearable, but it, like as you move, it's, like, 3D and it shows them, like, doing that wink gif. I would wear that in front of the mirror, probably. I think I'd probably.
I'd just stand there for hours turning back and forth. Yeah. I mean, so I think we should also say, I think we have to give some leniency to the marketing department because, I mean, who are they going to really market this year? I mean, that was a bad thing to say. I mean, yes, they can market like Hedges, like we said, or Myers, and they have been doing that. But, you know, for basically anyone else, even Hedges, you know, this team, the 2017 Padres, every single player on this team might not be on the team in 4 years. Like, there's a very, I would say, not very good chance. There is a higher than we would expect chance that, like, there's a completely different roster in 4 years. At the very least, there's, like, 20 new players in 4 years when we only keep a couple of the players that are currently on the roster. So also in the past, I'm sure the marketing department has gotten burned before of players they marketed and then got traded, you know, maybe like Aegon or something.
I have my Chris Norfey bobblehead that I got off eBay because they didn't actually give it away at the Platter game, so...
Yeah, right. And so I feel like we need to give them some leniency there, but at the same time, their promotional schedule this year is just so pathetic. I mean, they can do more and not get burnt over if everyone gets traded.
All right, man. Well, lots of good ideas. So, Padres, I know you're listening. If you want me and Chad,
Ron Fowler, we're talking to you right now.
Listen, Ronnie, if you want us, we're not cheap. But we're
if you want us to give up our podcasting gig, it's gonna cost the big bucks. So
yeah, we got lots. We are full of great ideas, like the ones that you just heard, but even more.
But we have even better ones. Yeah. We're not sharing because they're too good.
I'm holding to back give out a little to the bit. Public. Holding back a little bit.
Yeah.
All right, Chad.
That was just a teaser, just a tip in the water,
tip of the iceberg. Anything else you wanna talk about before we go?
Oh, man, you know, I don't think, really, I'm excited for the trade deadline, just that. I'm looking forward to it. You know, we only have, like, 10 days left before it's over, 10 or 11 days, 10 days by the time this podcast comes out. So, you know, things should start happening. I'm looking forward to it. I like it. It's my favorite time of the baseball year is the trade deadline. So
I'm looking forward to the trade deadline a few years from now when we're actually buying players that we will be using our minor league system to get. But until then, yeah, it's definitely exciting to see what we can get for those guys. Because, I mean, I don't know if you, we don't need to get too much into it, but, man, the White Sox have been cleaning up.
Yeah.
It is insane how good their farm system is, and it's all from trades. So
right. Well, I mean, it helps when you have Chris Sale and Jose Quintana and, you know, Todd Frazier and who are the other – who's the guy they traded to the Nationals again?
Eden?
Yes, Adam Eden. Yeah. I mean, it's not like the – you know, the White Sox and the Padres were in drastically different scenarios when they started the rebuild.
Yeah.
The White Sox had some major talent, and that helps a lot.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm fine. It's okay. They're an AL team. So, I mean, that's it's better than, let's say, you know, maybe the Braves getting all that talent instead. So, yeah, that's fine. Yeah. I mean, jealous, of course, but yeah.
Let's see, just as an FYI, the Missions games just ended, and they won, so they split the series. And Brett Kennedy, who was a guy that I interviewed earlier in the season, he is tied for the league in strikeouts.
Wow.
And he's tied with Grant Holmes, who's like a top 100 prospect for the A's. So kind of a cool thing. Brett Kennedy, another name to look out for.
That's impressive.
So, yeah, it's pretty good. Anyways, all right. Well, I think that's it for us. You know, check the site. We got lots of good stuff coming out. Usually every day, you know. I've been slacking a little bit. But I'll get back. I'll get back to it. So
yeah, we have some good pieces about to come out about the tread deadline. So
yeah.
Be on the lookout.
Yeah, be on the lookout. So, anyways, signing off for Padres Perspectives. Marcus, that's Chad. Go Padres.
Go Padres.